I'm going to be over in Exodus, the third chapter, and I know I preached a lot in the Old Testament. I preached probably about the same on the same scripture here a while back, but Exodus, third chapter. But one thing I'm reminded of with my stepfather is he does not like to waste anything. And whenever I say anything, I mean anything. Whenever we were raising gardens and stuff back home, whenever I was home, it'd just be razor thin. He'd cut stuff up to can. That's what we can. We didn't throw anything away. What it was, he got every ounce of it, what he could get out of it. Well, God's kind of shown me today on this scripture that I probably preached on. It's about the burning bush. I'm going to go back to that here again. But God has showed me something else on that, and I believe he wants us to get this out of it here today. So if you would, let's turn to Exodus, the third chapter. I'm going to start with verse 1. I'm going to read down to about verse 12. If you're able, let's stand this morning, and we'll read God's word together. Exodus 3, 1 through 12. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest, of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And I'm going to stop right there before I go any farther. If you are here this morning, and you are standing here, and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you are sitting under a cruel taskmaster this morning. He has got you, and I'm telling you, praise God this morning. I know one day I was under that taskmaster, as many of you were here. And I'm telling you, whenever Jesus saved me and lightened that burden from my life, I understood what it meant, what I was under in the past. But if you're here today and you were lost, you're under a cruel taskmaster. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land and into a good land and a large and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place where the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hazites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I have seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians have oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and there shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon the mountain. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would just be with this sermon this morning. Be with the hearts that are represented here. I pray, Father, that you would go with each and every one, Lord. I want to give you the praise that you so rightly deserve. I thank you, and I praise you for your son, Jesus, that died upon that cross, that made this possible for the Father. And Father, not only died upon that cross, but Father, has risen from that grave. And I praise you for that here this morning as well. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Amen. I've read where some have tried to explain this away by saying this. It was an optical illusion. It was a mirage. I've read this in the past where people have actually tried. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about people that try to apologize for the scriptures And they said, well, the wind was blowing is what God, what the voice that he heard. And it goes on and on and on where they try to explain this stuff. But I'm confident. I am very confident in God's scripture here this morning. I believe what it says. I believe that there was a burning bush. I believe Moses knew that land like the back of his hand. How many of you have property around? You know your property. You know what's on that property. Well, he was out there, and I believe that he knew this. Moses probably knew every rock. Moses probably knew every tree. He probably knew every bush around that area. So it wasn't surprising to him. Moses had seen fire before. You know that? Moses, I am sure, had seen fire before, and he knew what a fire would do to wood and that. And not only to that, but he knew what it would do to a bush. He absolutely knew what it would do. So, no, what made this bush different? What made it different wasn't its shape or its size or what it was made of or anything like that. It was because the presence of God was in that bush that made that bush different. Amen? I want to hear to tell you this morning something. I'm going to get into it. It's not what shape you are. It's not what size you are. It's not whether you're male or female. It doesn't make no difference what color you are. It is what lives was inside of you that makes you, whether or not you're of God or not, here this morning. It's whether the presence of God dwells in you this morning. That's what makes the difference. Can I have an amen on that? Praise God this morning. That bush wasn't nothing out of the ordinary for that land over there. What made a difference was the presence of God was in that bush. Praise God. He brought forth these people out of Egypt to serve God upon the mountain. That's what he did. No, you know, it was, I looked at this. You know, it was not just a bush until God was dwelling in it. Right? It was just an ordinary bush out there until God came and dwelt in that bush. Without God's presence, it would have been just a regular fire and a regular bush, and the thing would have burned up, and all Moses would have witnessed was just a pile of ashes. Amen? That's all he would have witnessed. But praise God, the presence of God was in that bush, and whenever the presence of God was in it, that made all the difference in the world. Can I tell you something here this morning? I don't know where you stand with God. I don't know what you're doing here this morning. I pray that you come to worship God. I pray that you come to worship Him and lift Him up on high. But I'm here to tell you, if you didn't come for any other reason from that, you're no different than a bush that doesn't have any fire in it. You're nothing more than an old pile of ashes, and you're sitting there this morning without the presence and the Spirit of God in your life, and you're nothing more than that if you do not know Jesus as your Savior this morning. I thought about this. And I hope you agree with me this. The cross was important. Whenever Jesus died on the cross, it was important. But can I tell you something? If Jesus would have died on that cross and hadn't rose from the grave 3 days later, that cross wouldn't have meant anything. Praise God here this morning. He rose after 3 days. And that's what gives us our salvation today. That's what gives us what we are able to stand here today. It's because he rose from that grave 3 days later. He came, rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, before there was tabernacles, there were temples. Before that, there was this bush. Before all that was ever built, there was this bush. The Lord is not limited in size. The Lord is not limited in shape. He's not limited in the substance of the place or the object where His desire is. God's not limited in that. I don't know what you think of yourself here this morning, but can I tell you something? If you're a child of God this morning, you're important to God. You're important to God. And praise God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. What matters is whether or not you got it right now. What matters is whether or not you're living for Him right now. What matters is if the Spirit of God is dwelling in you right now. That's what matters. The Lord's passion is to do more than simply dwell in bushes and to simply dwell in tabernacles. His passion is to dwell more in temples. I love this church. I love what the lady said about this. Thank God for the sanctuary that we got. But can I tell you something? The church is not this building. The church is right here. That is where the church is at. If you're saved here this morning, this is where God dwells. I can come in. I've been in a lot of empty churches before, Greg, and I mean a lot of them. I've been in a lot of churches where I preached before where the Spirit of God wasn't at. But praise God, He was in me to give me the opportunity to preach. Not bragging on me, and I'm not going to brag on you, but I'm going to brag on Jesus this morning. Praise God. He did. You know, His desire. God did not send His Son to die on a cross and to raise again for mankind and for these structures and stuff to be something where the Spirit of God is not dwelling in it. He didn't do it that way. God's desire is much more than those types of dwellings. In Acts 7, 47 and 48, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, praise God, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophets. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God does what? It dwelleth in you. Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you this morning? I can't open you up and look inside of you. My spirit can bear witness with your spirit, but you're the one that knows whether the Spirit of God is indwelling you. And if it's not indwelling you here this morning, can I tell you something? You're not saved this morning. Because without the Spirit, you are none of His. God seeks to dwell in us this morning. He longs to dwell in every individual here this morning. He longs to dwell in you. He is no respecter of persons. Amen? He is not. What He done for one, He can do for all. The Lord seeks to dwell in our hearts and in our lives. All we have to do is be born again. All we have to do is experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit that happens at the moment that you are saved. Praise God, and you are to be dwelling place of God. Fire will dwell in your soul. The fire of God will dwell in you. You'll be able to go out into this world, a fire that doesn't come from us, but it comes from the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Praise God, a fire that allows us to be one with the Lord and to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit. Jesus dies so you and I, whether you're a man or a woman on fire for God, that's what He died for. That's what it's about. You can be on fire for God. Because without the fire, you're just a bush. Amen? How many other bushes were out there in that desert at that time, around where Moses was at? It doesn't say, but I can tell you there was a bunch of them. And brother, there's only one of them that spoke to Moses. Without the Spirit of God in it, you're just a bush. That's all you are. You're just a bush. Praise His name here this morning. I thank God whenever He shows me stuff like this about this. Thank God because, you see, without God's fire, we're just a bush. Romans 8, 9, and 11. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There's two different beings in you. There's a spiritual life and there's this old flesh that's just going downhill all the time. Praise God. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Ken, I'm looking forward to being quickened one of these days. Hey man, I'm looking forward to being, getting rid of this old body here and being quickened in a spiritual body. Because you see, without God, you're just an old bush. Praise His name. With God's presence, the bush became God's mouthpiece. You agree with that? It did. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. God spoke clearly. He spoke loud enough that Moses could hear it. And if there had been anybody else around there, I bet you the sheep heard it. And I'll bet you if there had been anybody else around there, they would have heard it as well. God did not whisper out of that bush. He did not whisper. God spoke loud and clear. And I'm here to tell you, all Moses had to do was stop and listen. That's all he had to do. Can I tell you something this morning? That's all we have to do too. But praise God, we don't do it sometimes. First off, Christians, God has not stopped speaking to his children. He hasn't stopped speaking to anybody. He still speaks to his children. What I'm seeing happening in today's Christianity isn't that God has stopped speaking. The problem is people have stopped listening. They stop listening. God's never stopped speaking. You know this morning that God wants to speak to us right here now this morning? Do you believe that? God wants to speak to every one of us here this morning. Can you imagine? Now, I'm going to ask you something. Praise God, he showed me this. What, Greg, if I invited you and Michelle over to our house and I never spoke to you for 2 hours, how would you feel?
I'd
live. That's exactly right. God's invited you here to his church this morning. God has invited you here for 2 hours, possibly, to hear. And do you think God is not going to try to speak to you, try to not make you welcome? Praise God this morning. He spoke out of the burning bush. He speaks to us this morning, and he's going to continue to speak to us. Can you imagine? Do you really think God wants us to gather in his house and not talk to us? Do you really think that? So many people misunderstand God when God's trying to speak to them. They misunderstand it. God is trying to speak through prayer. God's trying to speak through worship. He's trying to speak through his word. He speaks through his creation out here. God speaks in all manners of ways. But guess what we do? We sit around like this, and we want to hear what we want to hear. It's not what God wants. And God's trying to speak if we would just take time to listen. Jesus perfectly described, and I believe he perfectly described the church of today. For this people, heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. God's speaking all the time. Trouble is, people just don't want to listen to it. They just don't want to listen. He's wanting to heal them. He's wanting to convert them. He's wanting to draw them under his wings like he did back then. He's wanting to do that. But people don't want to hear it. Sometimes else we need to understand is when God indwells us, we have a desire to tell others. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I've said this before, and I truly believe this, brothers and sisters. Listen to me. We do what we want to do. What desire is in our heart? You talk about what you truly want to talk about. It's okay to go out and talk about the football game that happened Friday night. It's okay to go out and talk about the weather. It's okay to go out and talk about our family. It's okay to go out. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But praise God, I'm here to tell you this morning, my desire, my heart's desire is to talk about the one that done a work in my life, the one that's lifted me up and set me on fire, the one that has said to me, Lord, listen, I've done a work in your life, Dave. Praise God, I want to talk about that one. I want to talk about Jesus. It's okay to talk about that other stuff. I'm not putting you down for that. I do too. But praise God, Jesus has got to come in there somewhere, doesn't he?
Amen.
Acts 4, 13 and 20. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, there I am, they're speaking about me again. Unlearned and ignorant, that's me. And they marveled and they took knowledge of them and they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For they indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them and manifest of all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. But that is spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor to teach in the name of Jesus. And I love this. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot help but to speak the things which we have seen and we have heard. What have you seen? And what have you heard in your life? What have you seen and what have you heard? Can you speak of that? I heard a preacher say this morning on television. He said, I think it's Dr. Jeremiah. He said, they're talking about testifying. And he said this. He said, you know what testifying is? It's no more than you telling someone what Jesus has done for you. Amen. That's what testifying is. I don't know about you, but Jesus has done a lot for me. Maybe he hadn't done nothing for you, but he's done a lot for me. I can't help but testify to him of his goodness and his mercy and his grace. Being God's mouthpiece is a privilege. It shouldn't be a burden. Shouldn't be a burden to you. God is still looking for people to speak through. Not just preachers. Not just Sunday school teachers. He's talking to every one of us in here. More than ever today, God needs some people who will just like this thorny bush, just like this bush out there. He's wanting somebody to the presence of God to speak out, who will allow God to dwell in their hearts and speak out of their mouths. Can I have an amen? God is looking for those like Isaiah. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." Here am I, send me. You don't have to be a preacher to say, here am I, send me. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher to say that. You just got to be willing. You just got to be willing, because you see, without God speaking, you're just a bush. Without God speaking, you're just a bush. Without the Spirit of God in you and dwelling you, helping you, and I'm going to tell you, if you think God hadn't done anything for you, don't talk about him then. I mean, just go ahead. Just don't talk about it. If you think God's never done a thing for you, you don't have to say a word. But I'm here to tell you, that's not the God I serve. You're just a bush. You're just a bush. When God's presence, this bush became a place of purity and transformation. Can I tell you something this morning? Whenever you get saved, there's going to be a transformation. You may look the same on the outside. You may look the same on the outside, but I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a change inside. There's going to be a change right here. You're going to change from the inside out. I remember when I got saved, I went back to that school. I didn't cuss like I used to. I didn't do the things like I used to. Why? Because Jesus Christ was living in me, and the people around me knew exactly that I had changed. I heard more than once, "What happened to you?" I found Jesus. Amen. Amen. And he said, "Draw nigh, nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." It became a place where Moses could remove all that had burdened him. That's why we say, come to the altar and lay it there and leave it there, because Jesus Christ is in there to transform your life. Because a place where he experienced a heart change. Praise God. Moses is no longer the same man after that experience. He was no longer. He's full of fire for God. He's full of God's Holy Spirit. He is now a vessel that God will stand up to Pharaoh and challenge Pharaoh and get his people out of bondage. Can I tell you this morning? There's a bunch of us in here that's got family members in bondage. Amen. Amen. I've got family members in bondage. And brothers, I got to be that mouthpiece. I got to be that one to help show them that they need to transform, that they need to be bought, that they need to accept Jesus Christ into their heart. He is a man who will oversee miracle. Moses was a man who could oversee miracle after miracle. He was. Moses needed God's fire, not his own strength. He needed the strength of God. Ephesians 4, 22 and 23. That ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you there will not be a change, because if you're saved, born again, there will be a change. There will be a change. Oh, don't get me wrong. There's some sanctification process. Am I right? There's going to be some sanctification. There's going to be some things you're going to work through. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there's going to be a change initially. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's amazing what God can do to him and purify us and empower us if we let him do it. It is amazing. I need to, listen to me. Well, I don't know about you, but when I'm cold, I don't need the pallet light just lit. Can I have amen? When I'm cold, I need to feel the fire. I need to feel the Spirit. A pallet light just doesn't do it. Yeah, that's nice to get the fire started, but I need that thing to burn up, and I need to burn her up hot.
There you go.
I was thinking about this as I was up to my stepfather's yesterday. He burns wood up there, and he gets that house so hot, you got to open the doors and windows to when you're up there in the dead of winter, you got to do that. Praise God, but it gets warm, and you know the fire's lit. Praise his name. I need to feel the fire. Otherwise, I will go where I can feel the fire. I'll go where I feel the heat. That's what I want to do. I want to be in a place where the fire of God and his Spirit indwells it. My Bible tells me, I think it's in the What I Know chapter over in 1 John 5. Here's a chance to go and read. That's pretty nice. Pretty good chapter. What we should know. And it says over there one thing, we live in a world of sin. But praise God, you know what? We are God's people.
Amen.
we are God's people, but we made this world is overfilled with sin. It's full of sin. There's no doubt about it, but we are still God's people. It doesn't matter what's going on out there in that world. It doesn't matter what's going on in New York City. It doesn't matter what's going on in Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter what's going on over in England or overseas in France. It doesn't matter. We are still God's people, and we can still be on fire for God's people. And if you're not, you're just a bush. Our world is black and cold, and they need more than just a daggone pilot light. They need to see us on fire. They need to see us on fire. It needs to be see the burning. We need to be those burning bushes in people's lives. Hey, come over here. Let me talk to you about the power of God. Come over here. Let me show you what the presence of God is like. Let me show you what the power of God is like when it burns hot in people's lives. Church, we need to be on fire for God 24/7. You think, well, that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. We don't need to be a pilot light. There's enough of the pilot light churches out here. There's enough of them. I'm not saying it to put anybody else down. They can do what they want to do. There's enough of these churches out there where there's just the pilot lights burning. I want a full throttle. I want the gas turned up full force. Amen. Let us determine to be a church that burns so bright and brings so much heat that we have to a constant flow of the Holy Spirit, of the oil flowing through this church. That's what we need. Brothers and sisters, without it, you know what this church is? It's just a bush. It's just a stop along the side of the road. Without the Spirit of God, it's just a building sitting here along the road that may look pretty nice, but brothers, I want it to look more than pretty nice. Praise God. God wants it to look more than just pretty nice. He wants it on fire. Amen. Belinda, come get a song, please. Amen. Tell you something else too. We could be an everlasting witness. So they're getting a song ready. The story of Moses has been out there for 3,500 years now. Did you know that? Out there for that long. That story of the burning bush with Moses has been out there that long. And it's still touching people today. Amen? It's still touching people. There's still sermons to get out of that out there. Lord knows what else he may get me on it somewhere down the road. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it is still a witness. And folks, if you're burning, if that bush is burning in your life, if your spirit is burning in you, you're going to be a witness. You're going to be a witness to a lost and dying world. Amen. Praise God this morning. How about you? I don't want to be a bush. How about you? I want to be on fire for God. I want to be a burning bush. Praise his name this morning. Go ahead, Mike.